This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, and oh my goodness, isn't it a blessing to be together today? It certainly is. We thank God for the opportunity to come together in His name and to use these airwaves for His honor and for His glory. And may we always be about that business in everything that we think, say, or do, the way in which we conduct ourselves in this society of man, the way in which we give evidence and witness to the reality of Christ alive within us. May we be about that holy business, right? We certainly need it in our world today. Always encouraging you to give us a call. What is the number to use? Well, it's toll free for you right here in North America. It's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. I'm inviting you to pick up the phone and to give us a call here. Looking forward to hearing from you. You know, this is a day when I just really want to hear what's on your heart, what's in your mind, what's going on with you. You know, do call in, share with us your thoughts, your insights, your perspectives on what we're seeing happening in our world. You know, I often go back to this great reality. You know, I am a big proponent of Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. You know, if you were to say to me, you know, what scripture passage has really formed and shaped you? What's healed you? You know, what's given you direction and guidance? I would go and I would tell you immediately, go to Ephesians 1. Go to verses 3 and 4. That's it. For me, that is it in a nutshell. Now, all of the other great, great, great passages in sacred scripture obviously have import to me, and they should to you too. But this one really identifies who we are and what we're about. And in that, you know, fourth verse of Ephesians 1, we read, "For God chose us in Him before the world began to be holy and blameless in His sight." And I, you know, I'm going to just spend a moment here just chatting about this because it's really on my heart. It's really, you know, in my mind today. And in that passage, you know, this choosing of God, the selection of God, you know, our God is not a God of randomness. He's not a God of chaos. He is a God of deliberation and intention. And, you know, when we read that God chose us in Him, you know, we have been chosen within the reality of God Himself. We have been chosen by the Godhead, the Trinitarian life. This God, for whom there is no beginning and no end, this God who always was and always will be as we profess in our faith, has known us. And St. Paul tells us, you know, from whence it is that He's known us. God chose us in Him when? Before the world began. And what is being indicated there is that God always intentioned you from all eternity. I mean, like, you know, from this no beginningness and no endedness, God saw you. You were always in His divine mind. Isn't that hard to comprehend? I mean, but isn't that liberating? Isn't that affirming? I mean, doesn't that just really center you in the great omniscient goodness of God, this God who knows all things and in His goodness determined that you should have life, that I should have life? And it would be an impossibility to consider that this God who knew all of that would not have known precisely the moment in time when He would give us this life. Of course He did. And this God who was always about intention, and this God who was always about deliberation, the supreme being, this you know, first cause, this this intelligence, all, you know, letters capitalized, knew that this was the time for you, and you were meant for this time. Now, what is God's ultimate goal for us? Well, God chose us in Him before the world began to be holy and blameless in His sight, to be full of love. Why? Because in this reality of blamelessness, in this reality of holiness, in this reality of being filled with love, who is God Himself, we find there the provision of salvation for us. That God wants to be in union with us in this life, but for all eternity as well. And so this God is oriented towards our salvation, isn't He then? He wants for us to gain the ultimate reality. And that is life on high in Christ Jesus for all eternity. And so, you know, as John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world, put your name in there. For God so loved John Ed, for God so loved Jeff, God so loved Ryan, God so loved Mary, God so loved, Thomas. God so loved you. God so loved me that he sent Jesus into this world, that we might not perish, but that we might believe in him and have this eternal life that he desires to give to us. So this God is oriented towards our salvation, and he's oriented toward the salvation of the world. And in this beautiful, omniscient, unfailing, immaculate gaze of his, he saw this time, and he saw you in this time. And he stood back from that moment of vision, and he said, ah, just like he did at the creation of the world, this is good. This is very good. And he repeated those very words when he brought together sperm and egg in the womb of your mother and breathed life, ruah, into you. And you were. And he knew that this day and time, with its contentiousness, with its misunderstanding, with its disorderedness, with its hedonism, with its relativism, with its materialism, with its off-skewered skelteredness, if I can make up such a phrase, he knew that this day and time would perfect you. It had the capacity to help you live out the reality of the ultimate mission that he has in mind for you, to be holy, to be blameless, to be full of love. But this God, who is always oriented to the all, and as well as the singular, you being the singular and the all being the totality of mankind, always oriented to both at the same time, this God who knows how to do what is best for the one, that it impacts the all, and what is best for the all, that it impacts the one, this God, knew that something about you was absolutely essential for this our day and time. And so, to slightly alter a phrase that has been out there, your life matters. It matters absolutely. Your relationship with God matters. It matters absolutely. The way in which God wants to use you in this time, in this place, matters. And it matters absolutely. Everything about this moment and everyone in this moment matters. Now here's the question. How do we respond? How do we respond to this great reality of who we truly are? And how will we live that out in the milieu of our day and time, that we might be the face of Christ? Now, I cannot answer that question for you. I ponder it for myself. Beg God for the illumination of the Holy Spirit to perceive the reality, the intensity, the weight of it, and to respond appropriately. I pray that you are doing the same, because you matter. You matter right now. And we're going to be right back. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
Transforming the world one woman at a time. Let's return to Women of Grace with Johnette Williams.
Well, welcome back, friends. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, encouraging you to give us a call. Pick up the phone. Ryan Penny's with us. And you know what? If you're a first-time caller, do let Ryan know, because I have this big old bell here. If you're out there on social media at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page, you can see the big bell. I'm holding it up there for you to see. It's a big bell. And when you're a first-time caller, I ring it. And, you know, I just got to tell you, I don't know what it is. It takes me back to being the age of five or something and wanting to ring bells. All of that being said, it gives me a chance to indulge. So please do call. Please do let Ryan Penny know that you're a first-time caller so that I can welcome you with my ding-dong bell, right? In addition to that, we certainly do want to encourage you to send your emails to us. womenofgrace@ewtn.com is the way that you can get them to us. If it's a prayer request, please do put that in there in the subject line so that we can sort it out. I have a couple of prayer requests that I'm hoping to get to during the course of our program today. Looking forward to that. So we will pray for you. We'll also pray for you on the air if you call in with a prayer request during our time on the air. But sometimes, you know, these things happen and we're not on the air right at that time. That's why we want you to email us. Also, if you have a question for us for Monthly Marriage Monday, I think that that's the first time that I've been able to say that without making a mess of it. Monthly Marriage Monday, the first Monday of every month, I am in studio with my husband, Jack Williams, and we take your questions and comments about marriage, etc. You know, we're just married 2 years plus some months, right, at this moment. It was 2 years on May 25th, may I say. Very exciting stuff for me and for Jack, too, I hope. All of that being said, you know, but we do have, you know, better than now 55 years of marriage between us. So we do know something about marriage. So we certainly do want to address any concerns that you might have about your marriage or insights that you might have on marriage, anything related to marriage. That's the first Monday of every month. It's turned into be a very popular day of the week, time of the month for us here on Women of Grace Live, and we look forward to it. Just want to let you know that I can't give you the exact date right now, but Jack and I actually produced a television program together on that same topic, and I think that you'll enjoy seeing us presenting that particular program. So, you know, do watch EWTN television. I'm sure you do. I know you listen to EWTN radio. You're with us right now, but do watch EWTN television too. We are on Women of Grace at 1 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday. And always looking forward to having you viewing us. Today, our guest back with us is Al Cresta. We're talking about the political unrest and some of the other things that we're seeing taking place in our culture today. And I do want to let you know that tomorrow is going to be a live program. And every Friday, we try to make it live. Sometimes it's not, but most of the time it is. And this Monday, we have a beautiful guest with us, Anna Maria Cardinal, and she is going to be talking about the meaning of music in the Mass. It's something that, you know, a lot of people are very concerned about, given some of the music that we hear. But what is it about music? What is it about the evocative power of music that really lifts our hearts and our minds to God? So an interesting discussion. We will take your questions in that live show in the second half hour. So that's Women of Grace tomorrow at 1 p.m. Eastern time. And it is a live show today. Day, 1 p.m. Eastern time, our guest, Al Cresta, hoping that you will tune in and see what we have to say. We're in this new time slot. We're excited about it, and we have an opportunity to address key issues in a very timely, current fashion. So all is good and all is well, and we certainly do invite you to watch us and listen to us right here at EWTN. What else do I want to tell you? I want to tell you to get out there to our website, womenofgrace.com, because all kinds of good things coming up. I've been touting them. I certainly have been touting them here for you. And I want to let you know that, you know, what we do at Women of Grace is, you know, our ultimate mission here is to transform the world one woman at a time. And we're always offering opportunities for the formation, the spiritual formation of women. Women, as well as a knowledge of who they are as women. Because here's the great reality. The world has been preaching a very different concept of who woman is. And we need to redeem the reality of who she is. And we're about that business. So we strive through our efforts to do exactly that. But in the midst of it, because so much of it has to do with spiritual formation, it applies to men too. So we invite you all to get out to our website, womenofgrace.com, and see what is going on. We want to let you know that next week on radio, we are going to be re-airing the teachings that we did in our Journey to Joy study, Healing for Life's Sorrows. So you're going to hear me delivering different teachings all about this concept of healing our heart wounds. And we have resource material available for you that's in conjunction with that. And if you get out to our website, womenofgrace.com, number one in the slideshow is about that. You can click click on it, and you'll be able to watch the actual broadcast of this. It was a simulcast between television and radio. You'll be able to see me presenting so that you can, you know, just refresh yourself from what you hear on the radio. And you will also find, you know, a lesson there, or, you know, a study material that helps for you to take the message and to really begin to let it go from the head to the heart. And so that's available for you out there. Want to make you aware of the fact that we have a beautiful Benedictine Enrichment Seminar coming up September 29th and 30th. And yes, it will be over in time for you to watch the presidential debate, which I hope you will watch. That's September 29th and 30th from 7:30 p.m. Eastern to 9 p.m. Eastern. Our guest presenter, Kathleen Beckman, what is the topic? Train up your family for the final battle. It is a very, very important enrichment seminar. We want for you to sign up and join us there. You can do all of that right online. Click on that slideshow. It's number 2. It's a hyperlink. It'll take you to the registration information, hoping that you will come. You know, we've had a tremendous response thus far. We hope for even more people to join us for this because it is oh so very important. Then, in October, we have a beautiful fall retreat coming up, October 23rd through the 24th. Open the eyes of your heart, the transformative power of prayer. Gentlemen, you are welcome to join us. Yes, you are indeed. And we have gentlemen that are also going to be presenting. We have a beautiful, beautiful roster of presenters, beginning with Father Peter John Cameron, inclusive of Kathleen Beckman, Thomas K. Sullivan, Susan Brinkman. We have Susan Potvin joining us. We have Susan Tassoni also joining us. So we're teasing and saying it's the Trinity of Susans. That beautiful number 2 in the slideshow is also a hyperlink. It'll take you to the schedule. It'll give you all of the information. You can sign up online. We've already had people signing up, so please join them. Also, slideshow number 4, a program, a blast from the past, as they say, right? Produced in 2006, this program is as important today as it was then. It is on the new judiciary, Renegade Judges. The guest is Phyllis Schlafly, now gone on to her eternal reward. But what a woman. What a woman she was. What an icon she is for so many of us. The whole issue has to do with the future of self-government. Will we continue to protect liberty and prosperity that flows from our freedoms, or are we going to give sway to a small group of powerful elitists? And that is the question that's being answered there. I thought, in light of the seat to be filled in the Supreme Court with the passing of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, that this was an excellent program to offer to you out there. So it's there for you to watch. And then we also have a voter's guide for you, 2020 Issues for Catholic Voters. It's downloadable. It's free for you. EWTN also has a voter's guide. So I suggest you download both of them. You're going to find that, yeah, they're telling you the same stuff, right? Because Catholic is Catholic is Catholic is Catholic. It doesn't vary. So we invite you to make use of all of the opportunities that we have available for you, as well as all of the opportunities that EWTN has available for you too. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us live here on Women of Grace Live, where we do love having that holy conversation with you. We've got Debbie with us. She is in Staten Island, New York. She's with us via Facebook. We're happy to welcome Debbie today. Hey, Debbie, how are you?
Hi, Jeanette. I'm okay, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Good. Jeanette, I'm calling today because I would be more grateful than I could say if you could pray for my daughter, Melissa Toscano, who's
yes.
going for oral surgery tomorrow morning. And to say I'm nervous as a mom is an understatement, because Melissa has severe autism and asthma.
Oh, dear.
And this whole thing of going through the anesthesia and her limited speech, it's really has my husband and I very worried. So I've been praying, and I know how faithful you are. And I've been following you since 2010 when I found you. And if you could help me by praying, and anybody else in the audience that can help and pray for my Melissa. She's 36, and she's a lovely young girl, but she has a lot of problems.
Oh, Debbie. Well, you know, first of all, you know, I just have to thank you so very much for the beautiful way in which you care for your daughter, and the beautiful way in which you give her the fullness of life, and her reception of that fullness of life as she can receive it. And I'm sure that this medical procedure is absolutely essential, or you wouldn't put her through this. So, you know, we sometimes face these very difficult decisions to make as parents that rip us, you know, apart and really become for us a testing ground, if you will, with regard to our trust and our capacity to accept God's mercy and all that He wants to bring to us. So I'm going to pray too that, you know, our Lord would fortify you and your husband, that He would give you that peace that surpasses understanding. We're going to tuck all of this into the heart of our Blessed Lady as we pray for Melissa now. And so it is, Father God, that we present ourselves to you and we lift up to you your daughter, Melissa. And we know, Father, that you have created her in your image and in your likeness. Father, this is a very, very important moment, not only for Melissa, but for her parents as well. And I know that you have only the ultimate best for Melissa, and that it is your desire that this ultimate best be realized by her. So I am going to ask now that you use the gifts and the talents with which you have imbued this oral surgeon now, that you use them to bring the optimum outcome as a result of this surgery for Melissa. We pray against any way in which the evil one would seek to use this moment to cause doubt, to cause distress, to cause anxiety. We ask, Father God, that you would put a hedge around Melissa and around Debbie and her husband now, that no barb or tactic of the evil one would be able to invade this cocoon of grace in which you are wrapping them now. I pray, Father God, that you would give a good wisdom, good judgment to this doctor, not only good, but the best wisdom, your wisdom, the best judgment, your judgment, as to what should be done, the amount of anesthesia, the intensity of the anesthesia, that there would be no kind of adverse reaction or residual effect that would come from Melissa's asthma, from her limited speech capacity, Lord. I pray that and I'm just sensing this, you know, Debbie, I don't know if Melissa has been in some way oriented to the environment that she's going to be in there, but in the event that she's not actually been present to, a location where something like this would be done, I just want to pray, Father God, that you would take away from her any kind of fear that might be incited when she sees the equipment and the chair and, you know, whatever all is in that room, all of this stuff that we typically see in a room where oral surgery will be taking place, you know, that there would be absolutely no fear. I would pray, Lord, that you would replace that fear with a childlike curiosity that would in some way put a certain amount of anticipation, joyful anticipation, into her heart so that she would be, you know, dispositionally, if I can make that word up, I don't know if it is one, but that her disposition would be oriented to what is going to take place and would also be intimating the optimal outcome that will come through this. I pray that, Lord God. I pray also that whatever is necessary to prepare her for this time would be done. I pray, Father God, that this surgery would be successful, that whatever the ailment that is causing this surgery to take place would be put to rest, never to reappear in her life, Lord God. And that this would be a positive experience for Melissa, for her family, and also for the surgeon and all of those who will attend to him. And Father, I'm just asking now that all of this prayer would be placed in the Immaculate Heart of Our Lady. And Mom, I just know, Mother, how it is that you understand Debbie's concern because you were always concerned for your son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe not worrying, but trusting. And so concern provokes us to trust. And may that beautiful virtue be realized in Debbie and her husband and in the way in which she can comprehend it in Melissa's life as well. And so it is that we offer this prayer to you, Father, in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the merits of his cross, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and with the maternal beatitude and intercession of Our Lady. Amen. There you go, Debbie.
I'm sorry if you can hear me. Melissa's very nervous, but I can't thank you enough.
You're welcome.
God bless you. Thank
you. Yeah, is that Melissa we hear in the background there?
I'm sorry. There's no way for me to calm her down without interrupting you.
No.
Her the whole time. Her anxiety is so high, Janet, and that's one of her many issues.
Yeah.
We've been working hard with doctors to try to manage that as well as behavioral methods, but it's a challenge, and I'm always just took it to the Blessed Mother and Jesus as I
can imagine
throughout the day. You know, give me patience. Tell me what to do.
Sweetheart, listen.
I don't want to keep you because she's yelling. So
that's okay, baby.
I can't.
That's fine.
You can
hang up. But listen to this. I just want you to know this. I'm praying for you. I will continue to pray for you. I think that all of us that are listening right at this moment will pray for you, and we'll pray for Melissa too. It has to be horrible to be locked into that kind of anxiety, and we're praying for freedom for her, Debbie. Okay.
Oh, thank you. I can't thank you enough. God bless you, Janet. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I wish I could hug you right now.
Okay.
You are hugging me. Bye bye. We're hugging each other, honey.
Bye-bye.
We're hugging each other. Bye bye. This is one of those calls that really changes you, doesn't it? I mean, it's changing me as I'm sitting here right now. The level of empathy I know that we're all feeling for Debbie and hearing Melissa and hearing her travail there and the anxiety that is hers and the inability really to perceive from an intellectual perspective, perhaps, and an emotional perspective, that which is hers by virtue of her baptism. But see, this is one of those key opportunities, isn't it, that we don't want to miss. This is one of those key opportunities where God is asking us to stand in the gap, right? To be real intercessors, to take some of that travail into our own being, that Melissa might receive relief, that Debbie might receive consolation. So, you know, as we go to this break, let's pray about that. Let's ask the Lord to give us at least some part of this travail. We're going to be right back with you. Stay with us.
Transforming the world one woman at a time. Let's return to Women of Grace with Johnette Williams.
Welcome back, friends. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams. We're happy to be with you today. I'm encouraging you to give us a call. Ryan Penny is waiting to hear from you, and so am I. Let me give you that number. That number is toll-free for you right here in North America. It's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. I'm also inviting you to contact us through EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page if you prefer the social media experience. So get on out there to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page and use the chat feature give us a call here. You know, we just heard from Debbie and she was asking us to pray for her daughter, Melissa, a 36-year-old autistic woman who needs to have oral surgery. And this dear, dear, beautiful daughter of the Most High God, whose name is Melissa, suffers from acute anxiety. And we heard that acute anxiety as we were on the phone there with Debbie. And I, you know, it's taken me through the break to really sort through this to some extent. And I feel very strongly that, you know, we come together as this electronic community through these airwaves, this mystical body of Christ. And, you know, God in His goodness is always knitting us together. And, you know, I think that He uses these airwaves to make us aware of the needs of His children so very often. That just seems to be, you know, a hallmark of Women of Grace Live and so many of the other programs that you hear here. And we have this opportunity to pray for each other. And we did that for Melissa and for Debbie and for her husband. But, you know, this concept of intercession is so important. And I've talked about it so many times. But it bears repeating that intercession is not petition. You know, petition is when we send up a supplication to the Lord, but intercession is when we unite ourselves to the passion of Christ for the sake of another, where we truly enter into the reality of Colossians chapter 1, verse 24, you know, where we seek to make up in our own body in this moment, the very sufferings of Christ for the sake of His body, the church. And so, you know, I'm really asking you to prayerfully consider, you know, in light of this particular moment that we're in with Debbie and with Melissa, that, you know, that maybe we ask the Lord to give us a share of that pain and suffering. And it might not probably not going to come in any form that's similar to that. It might not come in anxiety. It might not come in you know, the need for an oral surgeon or anything like that. But it might be a slight little cross that comes across your path today. You know, a reversal, something that you were anticipating and now it's not going to happen. Or, you know, you inflict some kind of accidental pain upon yourself. You know, you drop a brick on your toe. I don't know. Make it up. Anything, flat tire in your car. And should any of that happen to you today after you pray a prayer to take into your own person a portion of this suffering, remember that little prayer that you prayed, because that little cross, that little reversal, most definitely is God incorporating you into it, and you're bearing that for the sake of this situation. And I think that if we did that wholesale, if we were really willing to take into our own beings a portion of the distress that we see our nation in right now, the distress that we see segments of our population in right now, I think that we would begin to see a way out. You know, it is absolutely impossible to overestimate the way in which God wants to incorporate us into the reality of the dispensation of grace, and in particular, redemptive grace in the world. You know, those words that are given to us so many times by the early church fathers and repeated in sacred, you know, in sacred scripture through the voice of St. Paul and through his own personal experience, given to us, you know, in the teachings of the church, you know, that term co-redemptor, co-redeemers, is not incidental, and it's not slight, and it's not something to be given just, you know, a nodding assent to, you know, a nodding consideration of. It's something that we really have to dig into, something that we really have to dig into, because that locates you at the central reality of your mission, who you're called to be in this day and time. And I start off with that little wee monologue at the beginning of the program, didn't I, about, you know, we're chosen for this time and this time is chosen for us. And golly gee, you know, we got to see it. And if we're willing, you know, if we're willing to just say yes to that, to give our assent to it, like Mary gave her fiat to the mission, to the way in which God wanted to live the mission of her son out in her life. Golly, you know, we could turn all of this on its head. You know, the means of man are so limited. Oh, I mean, we have to do the things that we can do in the natural. I'm not suggesting we don't. But to think that it's going to be resolved to the fullest extent by the natural, it's not going to happen. It's just going to happen that way. It's going to happen by you and by me, seeing who we are called to be and really digging into that and letting that take place in us. You know, obviously when I, you know, talk like this, I'm talking to myself too. You know, I'm calling myself up short on the ways in which, you know, I don't always arrive at the place where I should be. You know, sometimes it takes a whole lot of cajoling from the Lord and humiliation. And dare I say it, sometimes I still really want to shirk it. But the time for all of that silliness is gone. And we are on the verge of a cataclysmic reality here in this nation. It's big. This is big stuff. And we kind of have to look at that. And to know that we are not a people without hope. And we are not a people without help. Scripture says our help comes from the Lord. He is our surety. But that doesn't mean that we do nothing. It means that in knowing that, we give assent to the God life in us to act through us. You know, grace is a participation in the divine life. The divine life is in you if you're in a state of grace. And what we need to do is to allow ourselves to give assent to that state of grace that we're in, to the measure of the God life in us, to say yes to that and let God begin to work with us. And to the extent that we give yes to that and the God life begins to work in us, God himself begins to use us as his instrument, to that extent, do we grow? Do we grow, intensify? I don't even know what the right theological word is, but to that extent, does there come a maturity and a full flowering of God in us? And we grow more like him, and our influence in the world of man becomes greater in our thought, in our word, and in our deed. And when I say thought here, I mean through our prayer, not by saying, oh, I can think this into existence. It's counterfeit stuff that the evil one tries to confuse us with. You know, it's time to come to full stature in Christ Jesus. And I believe that the grace is there, right? I believe that the grace is there. You know, Diana, Facebook out there, she says, I was so worried about the world issues today in the election. Yeah, it's true. COVID, she says, Black Lives Matter protest, and listening to Debbie's prayer, let me see what else she says here. I got to put my glasses on. That in a real life, it is what I need to bring me back to God's love and prayer. I am praying for Melissa. Well, thank you, Diana. And this is the thing of it. To the extent that we're willing to give fiat to what God is asking us to give fiat to, the weight of grace, grows in the world. The weight of grace grows in the world. And that weight of grace begins to outweigh the travail of the world. It begins to outweigh the weight of sin. Now, you know, we've got Theodora with us. She's in Rockville, Maryland, and I want to go to her. She is listening to us via Guadalupe Radio. And Theodora, you're a first-time caller. And to bring just a little bit of levity to the program today, we ring our ding-dong bell. How are you?
Oh, God is so good. God is so good. Darn it, I cannot express. Thank you enough. Answer me. Darn it, I have met you. I'm not sure. I think I have met you in National Shrine.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay, Theodora.
I'm 71 years old this year.
Okay.
And I'm alone. I live alone. And I have not experienced what I have experienced now, the anxiety and the depression. And I ate a lot to comfort myself, but I'm gaining weight too, and it's not good. It's not good, Janet. I need help, prayer that the Lord gives me.
Okay.
There's no words for me to thank you enough. Thank you enough. Oh, God. First of all, it's God. God is so good all the time. He is good.
He is good, Theodora.
I can't explain it myself.
Yeah. So let me try to understand what you're conveying here, honey. Are you saying that you've had a terrible depression and that in some way you have been self-medicating for this depression and it's not good? Is that what you're saying, or am I misunderstanding you completely?
Yes, self-medicating with food.
Okay. All right. Okay. So you're okay. So, all right. So now I understand better. And you know, Theodora, we have a program that's coming up in a week or so. So just, you know, keep watching Women of Grace at 1 p.m. Eastern. We have Dr. John Mark Miravalli on, and he talks with us about using marijuana, alcohol, and antidepressants as a means to you know, placate some of our sufferings. Now, you're not doing that. You're eating, but it still qualifies in terms of, you know, these kinds of behaviors that we're using to try to bring about a certain result, and the value in suffering. So it's fascinating, two programs that we produced with him. And so I want you to watch that. But this is what I want to say to you. This God is a good God. And this God intends only good things for you, Theodora. And you know perfectly well, intellectually, that God works all things to the good for those who are called according to his purposes. And so while depression in and of itself is an evil, because it robs us of what should be there, you know, what is an evil? It's the absence of a good. And what is the good that you don't have? The good that you don't have when you're in a depressed state is joy. But God intends for his daughter Theodora to know joy. He intends for you to have that joy. He wants for that joy to bubble up within you like a stream of living water that constantly brings you to a place of acknowledgement of his love for you, that you might receive that love and move in that love. Depression, which robs us of that joy, causes us to remain in a cast down state. And I'm thinking of the one psalm, the number of which I forget, but it says, why so downcast, O my soul, hope in God. And in that particular beautiful psalm, the psalmist starts off through a lament. He's lamenting his current situation, the misery of his situation, the suffering that he's going through. But he arrives somewhere by the end of that psalm. And where he arrives is this exhortation to himself, if you will, to have hope, to trust in God. And when we're willing to arrive at that place, even when we don't feel it, because, you know, these virtues are not necessarily emotions. They're not passions. They're not things that we feel necessarily. But when we give assent to that through an act of the will, then we're opening up a way for that hope to come in. And then the next job we have after that, once we give the assent to that, is to look for that hope. You know, to see that hope, to see the fruit, basically, of that hope manifesting itself to us in little ways. And I want to tell you some good news, Theodora. You have already begun to see the manifestation, the fruit of the hope that you have in the Lord, because you called. You heard the program today, and the word spoke to you. And that was God speaking to you, that word, saying, my daughter, have hope. There is a way out, and I intend it for you. I will make it clear to you, and you will walk through it. And you have arrived at an acknowledgement of that which would thwart your effort, and that is to stay in the same situation. Now, I also know this about God, Theodora. When God brings us to a moment like this, it is very clear that the grace is right there. It is right there. We can move in that grace and let that grace move in us. Again, grace is a quality of the soul, but it is not necessarily an emotion. Sometimes the emotions will respond to what's happening in the soul, but it's not an emotion. It's the divine life at work within us. Sometimes that's apprehensible through the emotion, you know, or through the senses, and sometimes it's not. But I'm going to tell you something, Theodora. You have it. It's there. And now what we're going to pray is that this comes to full flowering in you, okay? We're going to pray that this comes to full flowering in you. And so it is, Father God, that we come before you. And it's so beautiful. Father God, I you know, you never cease to amaze me. Your providence is so exquisite. And you've made it known to Theodora, to myself, to all who are listening in this moment, that you have brought Theodora to the fruit of the hope that is hers, which is already an affirmation of the fact that the hope exists within her being, that it is there, that it's operative, and that the fruit is coming. And you do that through this radio program and through the prayer that she heard for Debbie's daughter, Melissa. But what occurs to me in this moment, which brings me such joy, Lord, makes me nearly giddy for love of you, is the fact that her very name speaks the truth. Theodora. Now, I want to say that the Greek name for you is Theo. It's God. So her name speaks the truth. that indeed the grace is there, and that you want to draw our attention to the fact that this particular grace to walk now into this new way is available to her too. Now, I don't know what the DORA stands for, but I'm going to play off of that for just a moment and let my imagination say this, Lord. And, you know, if it's wrong, well, then, you know, you just receive it from the heart of a loving daughter who desires to see you in all things. But the DORA reminds me of, you know, Dolorosa, that there is always suffering, but that suffering never has the last word. That it doesn't own us, that you use the suffering and you turn it into grace. You use it and you imbue it with your own divine life. And not only that, Lord, but you take our suffering and you make it joy. And that this suffering and this joy is not paradoxical, but they abide together. And the darkness of the suffering only makes our joy that much more brilliant. And the brilliance of that joy reduces the darkness of the suffering. And so, Father God, I'm praying obviously for your daughter Theodora, named so aptly, so beautifully made in you. I'm praying that she take that grace, that she say yes to that grace to walk in this new path where the eating no longer owns her. And let me just say that the eating is a symptom. We don't want the depression to own her anymore, Lord. We want that joy now, that joy that she expressed in what she shared with us, to be the mover in her, the motivator, to let that passion of joy move her in this new direction. Father, I'm so happy for Theodora, and I'm so grateful to you. And I know she is too, and we all are. And you know, and I just feel that this is such a moment of, you know, profound generosity. And I just pray that you're really imbuing, you know, this time that we're together today with such profound generosity that, you know, just let the overflow of all of this now seep into the lives of every person listening, into my life too, Lord, into all of the quirks that are ours and into all of the crannies of darkness that are in us, Lord God, to all of the sufferings that are ours, Lord, to all of the reversals, to all of these things, Lord, that would seek to pull us away from you. And I pray in a very special way that in this moment of profound grace, that it would seep into our culture, that you would bring us all back to our right mind, that you would, Lord, please help for us to see clearly, to take the cataracts from our eyes, to see the life of your Son in our midst, suffering in his people. Oh God, release us from a spirit of victim mentality. Release us from a spirit of brooding. Release us from a spirit of rumination that takes us into a morbid kind of preoccupation and further puts us into bondage. Please, Father God, release us. And we do offer this prayer to you in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the merits of his cross, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and with the maternal beatitude and intercession of our Blessed Lady. Amen. We have about 2 minutes left. And Theodora, darling, you're in my rosary today. Please know that. We're going to go to Kim now, though. She's in Midland, Michigan. Sirius XM 130 is the way that she's with us. Kim, share with us.
Hi, Jeanette.
Hi, darling.
As I was listening to your beautiful show, just to remind everybody to pray the 15-decade rosary every day. That will heal them. That will cure everything. And I was miraculously healed, and a lot of people who go to the church that hadn't been healed, or they get healed and then it just reverts back, they hadn't been saying the 15-decade rosary. It is a game changer. It changes your life. It heals all the relationships in your life, and it heals you mind, body, and soul.
Well, Kim, I want to thank you for that. You know, I'm a big proponent of the rosary, right? And if we can pray a 15-decade rosary, we should, and we should try. You know, there's something. I'm going to challenge myself with that, Kim. You know, let's try to pray a 15-decade rosary every day. And it doesn't have to be prayed all in one sitting. You know, you can break it up. And it's not three rosaries, so you're not doing the introductory prayers every time, right? You're starting into the decades. Or you can spread those decades throughout the day. Maybe set a timer and you pray, you know, a decade. And by the end of the day, by the time you close your eyes at night, you know, maybe you have gotten it in. And Kim, I thank you for that. Yes, indeed. This is a time for the rosary. There is no question about it. It's a time for us to stand together as the sons and daughters of the Most High God in solidarity with one another, seeking the face of God in our midst, and then offering our prayer for each other. God bless you. We'll be back tomorrow.